the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing some praises to our awesome God.
About to hear is so amazing that it's almost too good to be true. But it is true. In fact, the miracle of the resurrection is one of the most well-documented facts in history. Doubters have never been able to explain how else Jesus' body could have disappeared from the tomb.
That's because it's kind of hard to explain away the earthquake and the angel who announced that Jesus was not there but had risen.
It's just like a mystery story come to life.
Good choice of words, since that's exactly what Jesus did.
Have you seen him with your very own eyes?
No, but Jesus did appear to more than 300 people after he rose from the dead.
Wow, that's a lot of eyewitnesses. Sounds amazing.
It is amazing that Jesus came back from the dead, but it really did happen. All the stories in the Bible about Jesus are true.
Well, tell me more of them.
singing praises to Jesus. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Peter, are you glad that you are my brother?
What a question to ask. Of course, Andrew, I'm happy to be your brother.
Well, I don't mean it that way. When John the Baptist pointed out Jesus as the Messiah, and I found out it was true, the first thing I did was run and tell you. And you came to Jesus, and together we have had the most wonderful association any human can have. A personal friendship, love, sympathy with the Son of God.
Andrew, of course I'm glad. I'm thankful. Yet, in a way, I envy you.
Envy me?
Not really envy, of course, because to envy is evil. But you are a very fortunate man. Do you realize that you are the first missionary?
Missionary?
And I am your first convert. Through you, I found Jesus. I feel sure that you will occupy a special place, have a special glory throughout all eternity for this. Do you know why I followed you to Jesus when you told me who he was? Because, Andrew, you are the quiet type. Deep, sincere, thoughtful, kind, dependable, truthful, and above all, you have true love and understanding for everyone. That lad with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, for instance, you made friends with him, and I feel certain that he is now a joyous follower of the risen Savior.
I hope so. He was such a nice lad.
Me? I'm the exact opposite of you. Boastful, daring, bold, selfish, reckless, impulsive. I can't be depended upon. One minute I'm something, the next minute something else.
Well, the very fact, Peter, that you admit these things shows that you have changed. You have been converted. You still have the same loving characteristics, but since your conversion, the grace of Christ regulates your zeal. No longer are you impetuous, self-confident, and self-exalted, but calm, self-possessed, and teachable.
We have always known that the Master had power to heal the sick, even raise the dead. We are beginning to realize that he has the power to heal the spiritually sick, the greatest miracle of all.
May I say something, Peter, that your experience has taught me?
Of course.
Oh, I'm convinced that the virtues of zeal, knowledge, eloquence, gratitude, faithfulness, and all the other characteristics of a good man are wonderful. But if one is to be successful in telling the story of a risen Savior and the way to salvation, there is one qualification absolutely necessary. Without that one thing, all efforts to bring others to Christ are failures.
You astound me, Andrew. Aren't you going to tell me what that one thing is?
You have it, Peter. In abundance.
Yes?
Love of Jesus in the heart.
Love of Jesus in the heart. Andrew, that is so true. We must love Jesus so much that we are willing to forsake all else and follow him. We must actually be willing to die for him, not just say so, as I did.
No, talking like this about our associations with Jesus fills me with unutterable joy. Yet we do have a mission to fulfill. Now, the time draws near for our appointment to meet the Savior in Galilee. It is our duty to go throughout Jerusalem and remind his followers of the appointment. Greetings, brother.
Greetings, Andrew. Won't you come in?
Thank you. But I'm going about the city, reminding all the believers in Jesus of the appointment with him in Galilee.
I'll be there.
Oh, I'm getting ready to go right now, Peter.
I'm on my way now, Matthew. I merely came by the marketplace to go to Galilee in a roundabout way, to avoid all those coming from the same direction, and to avoid exciting the suspicion of the temple and the Roman authorities.
About 500 are here, in small groups, eager to learn all they can from those of us who have seen Christ since his resurrection.
Why do not we each go from group to group, telling our experiences?
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
As most of you know, my name is Thomas. I was the last of the 11 disciples to whom Jesus appeared. I was determined not to believe he had risen until he had appeared to me in person. I was stubborn, and jealous. Jesus appeared to me last to teach me a lesson, much needed lesson. After I had seen the cruel nail prints and the place where the spear had thrust him.
I am Simon Peter. After his resurrection, Jesus appeared to me first of the disciples. Not that I am worthy of such a high honor. Indeed, I am the most unworthy.
I am Matthew. Our Master is now the risen Savior. We've seen him exercise his power in healing the sick and controlling satanic agencies. He has raised the dead. He is now risen, and our minds are ready.
Peace be unto you. Gather about, my beloved. My beloved, verily I say unto you, the sacrifice for sinful man is full and complete. Believe on me, and thou shalt be saved. If ye truly believe on me, ye will keep my commandments. Unto my disciples everywhere I commission the task of telling all nations the glad tidings of a risen and saving Lord. Therefore I say unto all those who believe on me and love me, go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
To go on turning, and why do the stars choose to shine? Who tells the moon when to change its face, and what moves the sun in a line? As he looked at the world of his father's hand, so much he wanted to understand. His countless questions, his curious joy, when Jesus was a boy.
Carlos, I'm in a hurry.
I just wanted to know that I did what you told me to do.
That's unusual.
I started praying to God.
Well, who else would you pray to?
Wait, you don't understand. He's not listening. kind of like you right now.
Okay, I'm sorry. Talking to God is important, and I should listen to you, even if I am in a hurry. Why isn't God listening to you?
I don't know. I told him what I needed, and nothing happened. Like yesterday, I prayed that I'd get a good grade on my history test. I got a C-.
Did you study?
Well, yeah, a little. Well, not much. Okay, no.
And you thought God would just pop the answers into your head because why?
Because I asked. I asked nicely.
Carlos, God isn't Santa Claus. He doesn't come down the chimney and leave good grades lying around.
Dora, Santa Claus isn't real. You know that, don't you?
Yes, I know that. I'm saying that God doesn't just give you stuff. It's like my dad tells me. When you ask God for something, he doesn't say yes or no. He usually says, here's how. After you ask for a good grade, was there a little voice in your head saying, you might want to study your history lessons?
Hey, yeah, I heard that voice. Didn't listen.
Well, there you go. Next time you pray, sit and listen for a while. God's probably trying to tell you what you need to do. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Thanks, Dora. You're a good friend, even if you got an A on that test.
I listened.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He's interested in everything we do and longs to be included in our lives. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Mystery. As usual, Paul was the last one to come to the breakfast table, but that didn't keep him from finishing eating first. As he gathered his books from the hall, he heard Mother say, "Poor dear, she will have to stay inside all week." "That's too bad," Dad replied. "Maybe you'd better look in on her today and see if you can help with anything." "I will, dear," Mother promised. Paul came back through the kitchen on his way out. "What's wrong, Mom?" he asked. "It's Mrs. Parker next door. She fell yesterday and sprained her ankle. The doctor taped it up and told her not to walk on it for a few days." "That's too bad," Paul declared, using his dad's words. Their neighbor lived alone, and he knew it would be difficult for her. He started for the door. "I know she's going to miss her flowers most of all. She works in her garden every day," his sister Linda began. "Hey, Paul, wait for me," she called as he opened the back door. Paul was in a hurry. He was supposed to meet the fellows at the corner, and he was already late. He ran across the street and cut across Mrs. Parker's yard. He tripped on something and almost fell. It was the morning paper. "Why didn't that paper boy throw it up on her porch?" he murmured as he regained his balance. He shrugged. The paper boy probably didn't know that Mrs. Parker had sprained her ankle. Paul picked up the paper and hurried up the walk to lay it on the porch. Halfway across the yard, he stopped. Why, Mrs. Parker's place was one whole flower garden. He had never paid much attention to the flowers before. He walked over to a rose bush. There was one big bud opening. The red was so deep that it was almost black. There were drops of dew still clinging to the flower. Paul tapped the long stem, and the dewdrop slid down and hid inside the bud. Paul was amazed at how smoothly one petal lapped over another. Suddenly, he leaned forward and poked his nose down on the rose. He took a deep breath. It was the most pleasant smell he had ever smelled. But just as quickly, he whirled around and shot a glance over his shoulder. What if the fellow saw him smelling flowers? Flowers were for girls. He didn't care about the others, but he could just hear Larry calling him a sissy. Paul was just as big and strong and tough as Larry, but he knew his friend wouldn't dare be caught messing around flowers. Shifting his books to the other arm, he left the yard. At the sidewalk, he hesitated and looked back toward the house. Remembering, Paul said, "She sure was nice to me when I was sick, baking that lemon pie on my birthday and coming to see me every day." He looked down the street. No one was in sight. Dropping his books, he ran back to the bush. Quickly, he broke a rose with the longest stem. Rolling the newspaper into a long tube, he stuck the stem inside and tiptoed up on the porch. He wedged the paper on the handle of the front door and in one long leap jumped off the porch and ran to the corner. When the others came, he was just standing there whistling as though nothing had happened. That night, Mother said, "You'll never guess what happened. Someone put Mrs. Parker's paper right up by the front door this morning so that she wouldn't have to hobble outside to get it." "Hmm," said Mr. Wilson, slicing the roast. "That was nice. Wonder who it was." "She doesn't know, but whoever it was knew how much she likes flowers, for there was a beautiful red rose inside." Paul swallowed and started to speak, but Linda said, "We've got a mystery right here on our street. I think it's so exciting." Then Paul decided not to say anything. He ducked his head to hide the smile on his face. It was going to be fun for him to have his own little secret. Besides, if his sister knew, she would probably blab it around, and then the fellows would know for sure. For the next 2 mornings, he slipped off to school before Linda was ready. Each morning, he cut the prettiest rose he could find and left it with the paper. The boy was enjoying his secret, but he had to admit the part he enjoyed most was doing something nice for Mrs. Parker. That is, as long as the gang didn't find out. Each time, he was afraid he would be late, and they would see him right in the middle of the rose garden. Everything was fine until Thursday. Then, just as he reached for the rose, a voice said, "Paul! Paul Wilson! So it's you!" The startled boy dropped the rose. He jumped as though he had been caught playing with his dad's tools again. "Oh, why did you have to come along?" he asked sharply as he saw Linda. "Don't you dare tell anyone." "But why did you have to keep it a secret?" Linda asked. "I think it is the sweetest thing I ever heard." "Yeah, sweet. That's just what the fellows would say." "Why, Paul Wilson, are you ashamed of what you're doing?" demanded Linda. "No, of course not. It's just that everyone thinks I'm plenty strong, and if..." "So that's it," interrupted his sister. "You're doing something nice for someone, but yet you are afraid of what someone else will think." "Sis, you don't understand." But Linda was gone. She had turned and hurried back to their house. Paul felt terrible. He could tell that his sister was disappointed in him. The forgotten rose lay on the ground. He picked it up. Very carefully, he brushed the dirt off the petals. In all the confusion with Linda, more time had passed than he realized. The sound of voices startled him. The boys were halfway down the block coming to meet him. His first thought was to run. It had taken a long time for them to invite him into the crowd. Now, if they saw him taking Mrs. Parker or Rose, they might not want him anymore. And even if they did, he knew for sure they would never stop teasing him. He had to decide what to do, and fast, for they would see him any minute. He glanced at Mrs. Parker's front door. Oh, she'll never miss it today, he told himself, and took a step away. As he brushed against the rose bush, he stopped. If I could just hide behind the bush, maybe they wouldn't see me, and then when they go by, I could... Linda came out the front door of their house and interrupted his thoughts. Sis is right, he said aloud. I am more concerned about what people will think than I am about doing the right thing. From that minute on, Paul knew what he was going to do. Sticking two fingers in his mouth, he gave a loud, shrill whistle. From the corner of his eye, he could see the boys stop and stare, but he didn't care. Instead, he yelled across the street, "Hey, Linda, wait till I take this rose to Mrs. Parker and I will walk to school with you." Linda stopped still in her tracks, for she had already seen the boys. She smiled happily and waved. "Okay," she called back. The boys started laughing and pointing at Paul, but Paul didn't pay any attention. Instead, he just ran up the steps and delivered a red rose and the morning paper.
The story you've heard today was first published as part of the Vacation Bible School program in the book God's World by the Review and Herald Publishing Association and the General Conference Sabbath School Department. If you are interested in any other products published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.